Good morning, and welcome to the Presbyterian Church of Floyd. This is Reverend Bob McLavey welcoming you to our time together. This morning we're going to have a passage, a very familiar passage, from the Gospel of Matthew, one that inspires us to look beyond ourselves, to look to a power that is greater than we are, to a power that is greater than anything we can find here on earth. So I hope you'll enjoy our time together as we take a look at this very familiar story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And then Alan Vest has prepared for us a wonderful song. Again, one that we're familiar with, and one that truly is a prayer for us today. It's entitled, Let There Be Peace on Earth. So let us begin this morning with a word of prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, we do bow humbly before you. We thank you for the ways that you inspire us. And Lord, in a world where we see so much chaos and so much hatred, we pray that indeed we may have peace on earth. We pray that you will help us to look beyond ourselves, to look to a power greater than we are able to find amongst other humans, a power that truly comes only from God. And so we just lift all of this to you now. We pray that you will help us as we hear your word proclaimed, that you will help us to understand and to receive your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture passage this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. And just as a reminder, this passage comes immediately following the account of John the Baptist being murdered in prison by Herod. Jesus has just received that word, and now we have Matthew 14, verses 13 through 21. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have only here 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the word of the Lord. Well, friends, in a world where we are seeking something greater than ourselves, we are often failing to look high enough. We need to look to the gospel writers and be reminded of the words and deeds of Jesus Christ. When we read the gospel accounts of Jesus' life, we find that each gospel writer tells the story in slightly a different way. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John each have eyewitness accounts, but some put more emphasis on one thing, and others make a big deal about other things. For example, only Matthew and Luke tell the Christmas story of Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. Only John calls Jesus the Word and says that Jesus is the Word of God in human form. The Sermon on the Mount can be found only in Matthew, and only Luke tells the wonderful stories of the Good Samaritan and the prodigal son. But all four of the gospel writers tell the story of Jesus' miraculous feeding of the multitude with a small amount of bread and fish. The presence of this story in all of the gospels makes it clear that this was an important event for those first believers, capturing, as it does, Jesus' concern for both the material and the spiritual needs of people. When they were sick, Jesus healed them. When they were feeling hopeless, Jesus encouraged them. And when they were hungry, Jesus fed them. The feeding of the 5,000 is a special story because it recalls the many times in the past when God acted to feed his people. We remember when God provided manna in the wilderness to feed the people of Israel during the Exodus. In 2 Kings, there is a story of the prophet Elisha feeding 100 hungry men with 20 barley loaves. And we all remember the story of how God fed Elijah in the wilderness when he had fled from the wrath of King Ahab and his wife Jezebel. Well, one of the reasons why this particular story of the 5,000 became so important to the early Christians is that it reminded them of the Lord's Supper. According to Matthew's account of the feeding of the 5,000, it says Jesus took the bread, then he blessed it, and then he broke it and gave it to them. Yes, these are the same words that we say over the bread today before we have the Lord's Supper. 2,000 years later, we still gather as Christians, remembering Jesus Christ in our lives through the breaking of bread. Our gospel reading for today reveals Jesus at a time of physical exhaustion and emotional distress. A lesser person might have had a sense of hopelessness. He had brought his message to his own people in his hometown of Nazareth, but they became angry because Jesus had suggested that he was the Messiah. And the people said, "Isn't this the carpenter's son?" And then they rejected him and even threatened to throw Jesus off a cliff. And now, Jesus has just learned that King Herod has killed his cousin, John the Baptist, the one who baptized Jesus and paved the way for him, by saying, "One is coming who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." But now John the Baptist is gone. And so this is the context in which we see Jesus and his disciples taking some Sabbath rest. Matthew indicates that Jesus decided to pull back from the busy pressures of his world and spend some time in a deserted place where he might rest and spend time in prayer. This was a good idea, but it did not work. The crowds pursued him. They traveled long distances to be near Jesus. Matthew tells us that the crowds were determined to see Jesus. But of course, they did not plan very well because the day grew short and they were far from their homes with no food to sustain them until they returned. The disciples wanted to take the easy way out. They said, "The hour is late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the village to buy food." Well, that would have been the easiest thing to do. Look out for ourselves and send the others away. That may very well be what disciples of today would do. But of course, that is not what Jesus would do. These people had come for miles to see him and to hear his teaching. And Jesus had compassion on them. He said to his disciples, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." Looking around at the huge crowd of thousands of people, the disciples were dumbfounded. They said to Jesus, "But we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. They knew they didn't have a chance to feed such a huge crowd. What could Jesus have been thinking? Well, Jesus was thinking in ways that we cannot comprehend. He didn't see the problem of feeding thousands of people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. So he took the loaves and fish from his disciples, and as Matthew describes the scene, it says that Jesus looked up to heaven, gave thanks, and broke the loaves. Yes, Jesus looked to heaven. Jesus knew where the power to take care of this situation would come from, and it was in heaven. It was then and there that a miracle occurred. The disciples fed the people, and they were satisfied. They had more than enough food. Remember earlier I said that all four of the gospel writers included this event in their stories of Jesus' life. It was an important story for the disciples, and it's still important for all of us to learn from. Most of us, if we were faced with a similar situation, would be just like the disciples. We would say, "We do not have enough. We cannot do this. It's out of the question. We shouldn't even try. We only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. But Jesus wanted his disciples to think in terms of what is possible with God's help. The message in our gospel lesson this morning is that if we tackle a problem with the resources we have, no matter how little that may be, then God can do the rest. If we are faithful, if we have prayed for God's guidance, if our motives are pure in helping others, then God has a chance to show us the way. Sometimes we simply need to trust God. In this case, Jesus performed a miracle to show his disciples and all of the people that God's power is greater than any problem we may face. I bet that all of us here this morning have faced times when we didn't know how we were going to get something done. Yes, maybe we didn't have enough time or enough money or enough help or enough energy to accomplish a challenge that God has put in front of us. And what did we do? Did we try to come up with our own plan for how to accomplish what seems like an impossible task? Or did we look to heaven and pray for God to show us the way? So let's all get together this morning and agree on one thing. If Jesus could make a miracle happen for his disciples, and that large crowd 2,000 years ago, then he can make a miracle happen in our lives today. We need to remember that Jesus loves us that much, and we know that his love will never die. In our sanctuary this morning, we will be having communion, the Lord's Supper. We will be reminded once again by the breaking of the loaves of the love that Jesus has for us. It was a love that was demonstrated by his greatest gift, his death on a cross. And so, friends, let us always remember that when we need to be looking for inspiration, we need to be looking for something greater than us. Let us not look around and try to find that inspiration from humans who are flawed. Let's look to heaven. Let's remember the words and the deeds of Jesus Christ. Let's not try to conform the words and deeds of Jesus to accommodate our own personal ideologies or desires. Let's be honest. Let's look to Jesus and follow him. This morning I'm actually going to close with a prayer. So let us pray. God of grace, we know that your love is greater than anything we can understand. You care for us in times of need and pain. You even care for us at times when we are taking you for granted. We are so grateful for those special times in our lives when you show us how to do the impossible, and we pray that our lives will be examples of grace to others. Lord, we pray for those who need your healing. We pray for the hungry and the lonely, and for those who are grieving. May they feel your presence and comfort in very special ways. And thank you, dear God, for sending your Son to be our Savior. That is truly the greatest miracle of all time. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. And now, friends, let us continue to worship as we hear Alan Vest perform Let There Be Peace on Earth, a song written by Jill and Cy Miller, today arranged and performed by Alan. Here is Let There Be Peace on Earth. Thank you. Our thanks to Alan for that beautiful song, Let There Be Peace on Earth. How appropriate for today. And friends, as we are faced with times in our lives when we're faced with a challenge greater than we can imagine, let us follow the example of Jesus, where it says, He looked to heaven and gave thanks. Let us do the same when we need to look beyond ourselves to a greater power. Let us look to heaven and give thanks to the glory of God. Amen. Friends, have a wonderful week ahead, and thank you for listening.